to the catacombs of Saint Calixtus. I guess it's your first time in a catacomb, right?
Yes.
So we have to say first what a catacomb is. And what I mean, my teachers taught me at school, and you even probably saw it in the historical movies or read it in the novels, that catacombs were places where Christians used to hide during the persecution time. But this is not actually true, because catacombs were just the cemeteries for the first Christian community in Rome. And Roman authorities actually knew about the catacombs, but they had respect of everything was about them. And Roman soldiers were superstitious, so they would have never came down in a catacomb to arrest or kill someone who was praying close to their relatives' tombs into a sacred place, as every cemetery was considered. But let's start from the beginning, from the first century AD, when the members of the Christian community in Rome used to bury their relatives into the pagan necropolis. Necropolis is a Greek word that means the city of the dead. Since the 5th century before Christ, there was a law in Rome which said that the dead had to be buried very far away from the city, and that was for hygienical reason, of course. So the Romans, the pagans of that period, started building mausoleums all together, which created the cities of the dead, in which were buried people from any religion in Rome in that period. And for that reason, even Saint Peter and Saint Paul were buried into necropolis. Saint Peter was buried in the Vatican necropolis, and Saint Paul in the Ostiense necropolis. The situation started to change during the 2nd century AD, when the Christian community in Rome was getting bigger and bigger, and Christians started to feel the need for their own cemeteries. And that's one of the reasons why they start digging the catacombs. Even because digging a catacomb was the cheapest way to have all the burial places the were in need of. Sorry, I have to point. Thank you. So diggers, just with pigs and the light of oil lamps, they start digging all the tunnels which create all the catacombs we have in Rome, of course. But the catacomb of Saint Calixtus in particular is one of the most ancient ones and one of the biggest of the city. They have started digging this catacomb during the last part of the 2nd century AD, and in 3 centuries of work, they have created a catacomb that today is made up of 4 levels of tunnels, 21 kilometers of tunnels, and 500,000 people were buried here.
Wow.
It's a huge catacomb. The catacomb is named to Calixtus, who was the first coordinator of the works of the diggers down here. And after his work here, Calixtus became a pope, and that's the reason why he's Saint Calixtus today. The first kind of tomb diggers used to dig was the loculus. The loculus is this rectangular tomb. It was for just one person. The dead person was buried just wrapping a sheet, and they used to put quick lime on the bodies in order to improve the decomposition. Then the tombs were closed by marbles. On the marbles, during the 2nd century AD, just the name of the dead person. But during the 3rd and the 4th centuries, they start adding other information, like the day in which the person died, or the age at which the person died, or some phrases dedicated to the dead person, even just like rest in peace, for example. And during the 3rd and the 1st centuries as well, they start digging most monumental kinds of tombs, like the Arcosolium. The Arcosolium is the tomb with the arch above that was for small familial groups and usually decorated by frescoes, and the cubiculus. The cubiculus is this room that was like a familiar mausoleum. A whole family was buried in the same burial place. And we are going to see cubicula, rooms that are decorated by frescoes and marbles. The cubiculus is the most rich kind of tomb we can find in a catacomb. But let's spend a few words about early Christian art, because early Christian art expressed itself through symbols, and we are going to see these symbols in the catacomb, of course. All of them want to express just one main concept, that is the salvation that comes through Jesus. Mm-hmm. As the good shepherd is worried about each one of his sheep, Jesus Christ is worried about each one of the Christian souls. The orant is very important. The orant is the personification of the soul of the dead person that doing this gesture is thanking God for the salvation that the soul has already reached. The dove with the olive branch is the dove that arrives to Noah after the rain is finished, when they are already saved. And the anchor reminds the mind to a safe harbor, as religion is considered by the Christians. And then we have two symbols that are directly connected with Jesus, because this is the Christogram, and it's the match between two Greek letters, Chi and Rho, that are the first letters for Christos, Christ in Greek. And the fish in Greek is called Ichthus. Ichthus is an acrostic. Because if we start a word from each letter, we will be able to read the phrase that in Greek is Jesus, Christos, Theou, Ios, Sotir, Jesus Christ, Son of God, the Savior. We say that during the 3rd and the 1st centuries, they start painting frescoes over the most monumental kinds of tombs that were digging in that period. And we are going to see these frescoes in the catacomb, of course, but they are painted in cubicula in rooms which today are closed by glass doors because of the preservation of the frescoes. So we are going to explain the scenes represented here now, and then we will recognize them together in the catacomb. Here we have scenes from the Old and from the New Testament. This is Abraham, who had to kill his son Isaac. But you see them represented in the orant position, and we say that the orant means salvation. God here had already stopped Abraham's end, and in fact this is the lamb which will be killed instead of Isaac. Here the baptism of Jesus, and we recognize his baptism because of the presence of the dove, the Holy Spirit that arrives in the moment of the baptism, and here the resurrection of Lazarus. Then we have a quite particular scene, because at the beginning scholars thought it was the representation of the Last Supper. Mm-hmm. But if you count the people represented around the table, you will see that they are not enough, they are just 7. And because 7 is an holy number in the Bible, today they think this is the symbolical representation of the Eucharist. And then we will see scenes taken from the story of the prophet Jonah. Jonah is the prophet who stayed 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, but in early Christian art he's not actually a whale, he's this kind of sea monster. We will see this scene several times in the frescoes, because in the Gospel of Matthew, Jonah is a very important prefiguration of Jesus. As Jonah stayed 3 days in the belly of the whale, Jesus will stay 3 days in his tomb before his resurrection. Now, before going down in the catacomb, let's spend a few more words about the history of the catacomb. Because we have said they have started digging this catacomb during the last part of the 2nd century AD. The catacomb was used as a burial place, as a cemetery, up to the 5th century AD. From the 5th to the 9th century AD, Christians continued to frequent the catacomb, but just as a pilgrimage site. Pilgrims used to come from all over Europe in order to visit the tombs of the martyrs and of the popes that were buried here. But in the 9th century AD, Rome had so many invasions, and it was not safe anymore for pilgrims to go out from the city of Rome that was protected by its walls to cave in these suburban areas. So the popes of that period decided to move all the bodies of the martyrs and of the popes from the catacomb to the churches in Rome, to protect the relics and to protect the pilgrims as well. But for that reason, the catacomb was abandoned and then forgiven. The catacomb will be refound and just during the last part of the 15th century, but the first archaeological excavations at the half of the 19th century. And in that period, because a lot of vandalism, people going down in the catacomb looking for treasures in the tombs, when then the archaeologists arrived, they found a very dramatic situation. Almost all the tombs opened, all the marbles which used to close the tombs broke and lying in the ground were not stolen. So we are going to see all the tombs opening as well, of course, But we are even going to see all the tombs empty. That is because when then the archaeologists decided to open the catacomb to the public, some of the first visitors start to touch the bones, others start to stole the bones from the tombs. So 15 years ago, the archaeologists decided to take off all the bones from the tombs and place them into a real safe place in the third level of the catacomb that is not open to the public. In fact, we are going to visit the second level of the catacomb, and this means we are going 11, 12 meters deep in the ground, where we will find 15 degrees Celsius that are almost 60 Fahrenheit and the 80% of humidity. And I just have to remind to you that it's not allowed to take pictures or make videos downstairs.
Can we take pictures of this? Thank you.
Excuse me, what's the picture to the left of Abraham?
This scene is considered in with the scene we called the Last Supper or Eucharist.
That's the last.
Because if that one is considered the Last Supper, that one is just a slave preparing the supper. Right. But if it's considered like the Eucharist, this is the blessing of the bread.
Right. 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 Thank you.
Here above our heads, we have a skylight or light shaft. It's the place through which diggers used to take off all the materials while they were digging the tunnels and then used during the life of the catacomb to give air and light to the catacomb itself. And behind that glass, you can see and you're going to see the graffiti that were written by the pilgrims when they used to go down from the same staircase we have done to go and visit the tombs of the popes and of the martyrs. And we can have a lot of information from the graffiti because pilgrims used to mention the name of the martyr or pope they wanted to visit. And from the alphabets they were writing, we can even understand from where pilgrims used to come from which part of Europe. And in every wall where you can read the abbreviation CDAS, here, but even in the corner, there or in the wall in front of you, it means that the Commission for Sacred Archaeology has restored the wall you are looking at in the year that is written below. And in this case, it's 1854. But in general, when you see this brickwork, means restoration work. Different kinds of bricks, different periods of restoration. We are now in the most important place of the catacomb, it's the crypt of the popes. First burial place for 9 popes of the 3rd century AD. This place is called the Little Vatican. At the beginning was just a small cubiculus, a small room, and that one is the original ceiling, that one the original back wall of that cubiculus. But because of the lots of pilgrims who wanted to visit the tombs of the popes, in the 1st century AD, Pope Damasus decided to enlarge this place and created the little underground basilica we are in now. Basilica which took air and light from skylight up there. But here we have another smaller skylight, the day closed, which gave light directly on the altar that was placed here. Pilgrims used to celebrate masses in honor of the popes buried here. All around us, the original 3rd century AD marbles which used to close their tombs. And you can see that their names are written in Greek because Greek was the first official language of the Christian church in Rome. Here we have Fabianos, Poncianos, Eutychianos, Lucis, and here Anteros. But after their names, there's written AP. AP stands for Episcopus, that is bishop. In the 3rd century AD, the name Pope didn't exist yet. These people were bishops of the first Christian community in Rome, and some of them were martyrs, There's an erring Greek and a T for martyr.
Wow.
But the most important burial place here is the burial place of Sixtus II. He was a bishop that was killed on the above ground of the catacomb here in 258. He was beheaded during the persecution time. So Sixtus was one of the most important martyrs of this catacomb because he was a bishop killed and buried here. And because of the importance of the witness of the persons buried here, Damasus decided to dedicate a poem to them. This is original from the 3rd century AD. And in the last two lines of the poem, Damasus, here we can even read his name, Damasus says, I would have liked to be buried here too, but I didn't want to disturb the bones of these holy persons, because in the 3rd century AD the crypt was full. So Damasus decided to be buried somewhere else, but today we are still looking for his burial place. And now we are going to visit another important crypt, the crypt of Saint Cecilia.
Please. Can you tell us why these things are here? Is that to repair the
crack? Yeah, because this is the original marble that was got ruined in this place. So to let all the pieces of this original marble stay together, they have put these parts in... I don't know which metal it is actually.
Copper.
Cecilia is an important martyr in Rome. She was killed during the last part of the 3rd century AD. She was beheaded as well during the persecution time. And the statue we have here in the crypt actually is a replica. The original one that was made by Stefano Maderno is in the basilica named to Cecilia in Trastevere in Rome. The statue anyway represents the position they found the body of Cecilia in 1599. When they decided to open her tomb and found her body incorrupted. So the statue reminds to that miracle. Cecilia had a cut on her neck because she was beheaded and she was pointing one finger with her left hand and three fingers with her right hand because she wanted to say she was dying because of her faith in one God. It is made of three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The statue is today placed above her original burial place. So Cecilia was buried here in the last part of the 3rd century AD. Then in the 9th century AD, her body was moved in Trastevere, where it is still today. And the legend about the death of Cecilia says that while she was dying, she was singing carols to God. That's the reason why today Cecilia is the patroness of music and of singers. 6th and 9th century AD frescoes are decorated in the crypt. Here Cecilia is represented in the orient position. Here in the niche, a fresco painted in the Byzantine period is representing Jesus with the gospel in his hands. And here Urban I, the contemporary bishop of Cecilia. 6th century AD, frescoes are decorating the skylight as well here. Here in the lower part, the representation of three of the most important martyrs of this area, Sebastiano in the middle, Quirino on the right, and Polycamus on the left. In the middle of the skylight, the representation of the cross. In the upper part, there's a person represented standing with an opened gospel in his hands, but we cannot actually recognize who the person is because the fresco is too much ruined up there. And now we are going to walk into the tunnels of the catacomb. And here we can recognize the original material in which they used to dig the catacomb, that is the tufa, this volcanic rock that is very typical of Rome, all the areas around Rome. The tufa is the perfect rock for the catacomb because it's strong enough to maintain the structure, of course, but it's even easy to work, and you can still recognize the signs left by the picks of the diggers on the wall. Here we have the loculus, we say the rectangular tomb that was for just one person. And we have to imagine each loculus closed by marble and sealed by concrete. In the concrete, they used to put some objects that were owned by that person or even just for the decoration of the tomb, like seashells or glasses or coins sometimes. And in this kind of niches, oil lamps always shine. Here we have different sizes, oblocula of rectangular stones, because to save space, diggers used to dig each loculus long enough in accordance of how much stone was the person they had to bury in it. At the beginning, tunnels were not so much high. They were usually 2 or 3 meters high. But when diggers were in need for space, they start digging the pavements again, in order to create other walls, and in the walls other burial places. So the burial places in the top are the most ancient ones, and the burial places down here the most recent ones, always between the last part of the 2nd and the half of the 5th century AD. We always have to remind that the catacomb is like an upside-down monument, because we are used to think about monuments that are built up. But in the catacomb is the concrete, everything is done. So it goes down and down during the century. Now we are going to walk into the tunnel where we will see the cubicula, the rooms that are decorated by the frescoes we have talked about. And we will pass glass door and recognize the scene. You will see so many times the scenes representing the baptism and the Eucharist. And that's the reason why the cubicula, the rooms, are called the cubicles of the sacraments.
No, what happened was the lady just said that they started at the top, and when they didn't have any more space, then they dug out some more earth, and then they built it. So they went a different way to what you normally build. Your question's very sensible, because normally you build up, but in this case, they went down.
We're down.
You're going to recognize almost all the scenes we have talked
really
about.
Messed things up.
The scenes from the story of the prophet Jonah are represented in the upper parts of the walls. In the center of the back wall, the Eucharist and the sacrifice of Isaac, the baptism of Jesus on the left wall. And on the sides of the back wall here, 2 persons standing with picks on their shoulders. They are the diggers of the catacomb. They wanted to be represented too
after a selfie.
I was. Hey, you draw me, I'll draw you.
Where was this?
I'm not that
old. Abraham, Isaac, and the first and Holy Spirit. They're the same pictures, aren't they?
Yeah, they're very similar.
Wow. That's so
here
cool.
Here in the left cubicle, the baptism of Jesus is represented in the center of the back wall, but in the center of the ceiling, a good shepherd. The staircase here behind me is the original staircase through which they have started digging this part of the catacomb during the first half of the 3rd century AD. Then in the 2nd half of the 3rd century, they start digging and decorating the cubicula, the rooms here. So all the frescoes are original from the 3rd century AD, restored but never repainted. And if you see a balcony down here in the middle of the tunnel, I know that can seem a little bit strange, but that one is just a tunnel of the first level of the catacomb, which crosses the tunnel of the 2nd level we are in now. So here we can recognize the first 2 levels of the catacomb, but we have 2 more levels below our feet. The first level is 25 meters deep. Now we are going to walk into a cubiculus, into a room in which we will see a little exhibition of all the objects we say they used to put close to the tombs. Most of them are oil lamps, but even pottery and glasses still in the original concrete. They used to put perfumed oils or perfumed balsams into the pottery and into the glasses to try to avoid the smell down here. And in the upper part of the left wall, we will see the original marbles with the symbols we have talked about. The dove, the Christogram, the 2 Greek letters to say Christos Christ in Greek, the fish, and the anchor. And then we will stop again. And here in the tunnel, but even inside the cubicula, the rooms here, you can see the arcosolium. We say the arcosolium is the tomb with the arch above that was for small familial groups. First, they start burying people in the rectangular tombs in the back wall of the arcosolium, and then they start filling the box under the arch with the bodies of the people that used to die through the years, divided by layers of concrete. Then they used to close the box by marbles, and just people who could afford it paid for the decoration of the arch, usually by frescoes. Because Christians used to pay for their tombs, of course. The rectangular tombs were the most cheap ones, the tombs with the arches and the rooms the most expensive, and decoration was like another cost to add. The cubiculus here in my right is considered by the archaeologists the burial place of Pope Milciade, the last pope buried in that catacomb at the beginning of the 1st century AD. It's a very big cubiculus. It's decorated by frescoes in the ceiling and in the skylight as well. But you have to imagine the walls of the cubiculus as the walls of the tunnel, wherever you can see fragments of amphoras in the wall. It means that the wall you are looking at was decorated by different colored marbles mixed together in order to create a geometrical decoration. Because the marble was the most expensive material in the catacomb, was the first material to be stolen during the centuries. But that one was one of the richest tunnels of the catacomb. And we understand it because of its decoration. We have to imagine all marbles decorating the walls. And even because of the kinds of tombs we can see here, most of them are arcosolia, tombs with the arches and cubicula. The 1st century AD, Pope Damasus ordered that more skylights for pilgrims used to pass, so the light could guide pilgrims outside. And here we have other objects from the tombs, oil lamps and pottery, some glasses again, but even seashells we saved for the decoration of the tombs. Now we are going to walk into a tunnel in which we will see a cubiculus, a room that is lighted with a blue light, and it's for the preservation of the frescoes. Lightening the frescoes with a yellow light makes easier that molds can grow on the frescoes because of the humidity of the catacomb. So this blue light is like a test of restoration. Then we will walk into a few more tunnels, and in the last tunnel we will see two small cubicula, small rooms that today are chapels. So pilgrims who ask for it can still celebrate Mass today in the catacomb. Then at the end of the tour, I will wait for you outside, of course. So if you will have questions, you will be able to ask.
Thank you.
So if they didn't, if they would have messed with that, what was the necessity to have it all in the ground?
It was just because just buying a piece of land, church could use all the underground part of it. If they wanted to build something like an acropolis, all mausoleums all together, they have to buy pieces of land for all the mausoleums they wanted to build. So it was just because it was very cheap, just to buy one piece of land and use all the underground part of it.
So they wouldn't go under other pieces of land?
No, no, that's one of the reasons why catacombs are not connected
each other.
Because if the lands were not together, they could not dig more tunnels outside the piece of land. The Roman law say that. The owner of that one piece of land on the above ground was the owner of the same piece underground. But just that.
And do we know how many martyrs approximately were in this time in the first centuries here in Rome?
Hundreds. Yeah, but I don't know if they count them actually. But a lot.
You said that there are bishops from Rome, but what about the saints or bishops from other cities which were not, they're also martyrs?
The persecutions were in all the Roman Empire.
Yes.
So even people, bishops of other churches in the Empire were persecuted and martyred.
And are they also here? Or
No. They were buried in their
cities. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we have catacombs almost only in Rome and just in other cities in Italy because of the tomb.
This is the only rock that permits to dig a monument like that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the reason why catacombs are so specific of Rome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because of the tufa. It's the only material. The tufa is waterproof, so when it rains, the catacomb does not float, and it's perfect. Yeah. You cannot dig a monument like that in the normal rock, just because it's a volcanic rock.
Yeah.
We don't actually know, because we have ancient documents about the catacombs that are dated back to the 7th century AD, and they are like the guides used by pilgrims when they used to come in Rome to visit these tombs.
Ah, right,
but
yeah.
sometimes the informations given by these ancient documents and the informations given about the archaeological evidences are not matching.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot really say the number, because some of them are mentioned in documents, but the archaeologists didn't found their tombs,
right,
so
yeah.
cannot clearly say this martyr was buried here if they don't find their tombs.
Yeah.
So Giovanni Battista de Rossi, the archaeologist who found the catacombs of St. Calixtus, was the first to compare the documents and the archaeological evidence. So the first archaeological excavation were done by him, so at the half of the 19th century. And before of him, a lot of Vandals, which stolen things from the catacombs, ruined a lot of probably archaeological evidences that could be found out here.
I have a question. What is the impact on you of learning about this and leading these tours?
I love catacombs. For me, like, all the catacombs in Rome are the best places I've ever visited. I love catacombs. So for me, it's not just about fate, is about art and archaeology, because I've studied Christian archaeology, so it's a mixture of things for me. My fate and my
mm-hmm.
passion, archaeology.
You've done a wonderful job of leading.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much. Thank you. Thank you.
I was also wondering, since this is the second century,
we have Jewish catacombs in Rome.
Oh, yeah, that's a question.
So they were, and one of them is really close to the upper world. So they were separated, but in the same kind of cemetery.
And do the Jewish catacombs, are there Christian Jews in those catacombs?
No. The paintings are clearly Jewish.
Okay.
So all the iconography is just Jewish. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good question.